Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am your host, like normal, Cody. And we're talking some Mads Mikkelsen today. Again, we're continuing February's theme of Mads Mikkelsen movies. Tonight's movie, or today's movie that we're going to be talking about is Casino Royale. The first Bond movie with Daniel Craig, but it's also technically, I guess, really the first 007 movie in general. Casino Royale was released in 2006, which is crazy to think it was 13 years ago, but it was. The gentleman who directed this movie is Martin Campbell. He's got a few things under his belt. Some stuff that's not great, but other things that are really good. He directed GoldenEye, which is by far the best Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie. And still one of the best James Bond movies in general, because it really is just fun and just a real good balance between the borderline ridiculous and the action. Because some of those Pierce Brosnan ones, the last two, got pretty fucking rough for sure. Martin Campbell's done a couple things. Few things. He did the Mel Gibson movie, Edge of Darkness. He did The Legend of Zorro. Unfortunately, he did direct the Green Lantern movie. What happened to that movie I can't really say is his fault. He did The Foreigner with Pierce Brosnan and Jackie Chan a couple years ago. That was a fun movie. Not tremendous by any means, but it's one of those like good actioners and stuff like that. It's got, whatever. It's a fun action movie. Not fun, it's very dark, but it's a good action flick. Let's see. TV-wise, he's done a bunch of things. Nothing really great, I guess. Anyhow, that's it for him. We don't care about Martin Campbell too much. So Daniel Craig stars as James Bond, 007 in this movie. It's where he actually gets 00. We all knew Daniel Craig is. He's an awesome dude. Wish he did more stuff, but, whatever. Ava Green is the female lead in this movie. She is so good in this movie. I think still this is my favorite movie she's ever been in. It's just the way she, the acting she does in is fantastic. It doesn't help she's a gorgeous woman. She was really good in Kingdom of Heaven, which is a movie she did right before this. I don't remember too much about The Golden Compass other than the fact that it was pretty cool. And I've only seen it the one time, I think, which is crazy for me to say that I've seen a movie once. She's in the upcoming Dumbo movie. She was in the sequel to 300, which actually wasn't half bad. It just wasn't as good. She was amazing in Penny Dreadful. That was the show she did really well in. I liked that show a lot. And I liked her actually a lot in Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I can't talk. So that's Ava Green. Mads Mikkelsen, obviously, he is in this. He plays the dastardly villain in this particular James Bond flick, and is spectacular in general. He's very creepy in this movie. He's got the deadened eye that weeps blood. Fucking gross. You have Judi Dench, who plays M in this particular movie. Dame Judi Dench, I'm sorry. I should use her title. If I remember correctly, when this movie came out and she was playing M, it was a shock to a lot of people just because M has always been a man because, you know, sexism. But she commands the screen when she's on it. She's so good. And she plays M really well in all these movies. Well, she plays M in most of all of them until the, you know, the first two-thirds of the last one. And then she, spoiler, dies. But she's good, people. I think she dies in that one, right? Am I making that up? Did I make up that she dies in Spectre? Does she live? Fuck me. What happened in that movie? No, M dies, right? Fuck, I don't remember. Oh, maybe. No, she lives in that movie. She almost died in that movie. Yeah. I was mistaken by that. She almost died in that movie. Really good no matter what she's in, really. I say that. I've seen her in a handful of movies, I think. GoldenEye, obviously. That was her debut as M. Which is weird because the 10-year gap, 11-year gap between GoldenEye and Casino Royale was she aged, so that was weird because this is supposed to be before. It's like a prequel in a way. I don't know, it was very bizarre, but Casino Royale was amazing, so it doesn't really matter. I actually liked all the Daniel Craig movies, even Quantum of Solace. People are like, this movie's it's dumb, it doesn't go along with anything. I actually liked it a lot. I think it was one of the I liked all the Daniel Craig ones, so I guess I have no all four of them. I have no qualms with it, but whatever. You know, teach their own. I'm right, you're wrong. And the last person is Jeffrey Wright, who I will venture to say is way better than his career would post. Most people nowadays will know him as Bernard Lowe from Westworld. I would say he's tremendous in that, but he was really good in Boardwalk Empire. He was excuse me. Oh, Lord. He was good in Angels in America, too. It was a miniseries on HBO way back in the day. He was, he was good in Casino Royale. But he's been in all sorts of stuff, and I think he's a tremendous actor, and should be in way more things. He was in the Hunger Games movies, I forgot about that. But he plays a mainstay in the James Bond universe by the name of Felix Leiter. I can't talk and I'm yawning. Sorry, sneezing, yawning is terrible. But he plays Felix Leiter in the James Bond world, who's basically James's main contact in the CIA. And you actually he gets met for the first time by this James Bond in Casino Royale, and then shows up later in Quantum of Solace. I think he dies in that one. I said that before about M, and I was wrong, but I believe he I want to say he dies in Quantum. It's been a long time since in Quantum of Solace too. Anyways, that's Jeffrey Wright. He's amazing. He should be in more things. Maybe he doesn't want to be, but, you know, I think he should be, because he's, every time I see him in something, I'm like, oh, man, this guy's so good. You know, whatever. Do what he needs to. He's around. So yeah, that's it, for the actors and stuff. There's way more actors in the movie, but those are the ones you need to, really see. Talk about Mads in this movie. So for the second movie in a row, Mads Mikkelsen was involved in one of the worst torture scenes in cinematic history. After watching this again the other day, and watching the knotted rope to the testicles, it's so hard. That's gross. It's so difficult to watch. The sound, and the fact that, I mean, if you've never been hit extremely hard or even softly, in your testicles, which for ladies is, obviously difficult for you to do. It sucks a lot. There's a lot of pain, that isn't just localized in that area. And if you haven't seen this movie, so what I'm talking about is in Casino Royale at one point, Mads Mikkelsen's character, he decides that he wants to torture James Bond, because James Bond has $150 million that he would like to possess. $120 million? It's $100 million-something dollars. I should notice, I literally just watched it the other day. I guess yesterday, the day before. $115 million, whatever, shut up. Anyhow, so Le Chiffre is the character that Mads Mikkelsen plays, who is basically the banker for the world's terrorists, and he loses money, a bunch of money to a bunch of people on this scheme that he has to basically ruin this aerospace company, and because of that and the public stock, he has a chance to make a bunch of money. Well, James Bond, unbeknownst to actually his own actions, stops this from happening, which causes then Le Chiffre to have to scramble to find way to pay back this money, and his way is to basically hold this poker game where it's a guaranteed win. Of the guaranteed pot would be $115 million to the winner, and then he's really good at poker because he knows numbers, blah blah blah. He'd win it, use that money to pay back his debts and things like that. James thwarts this, not knowing that it's what he was doing, but he knew that he was tracking this this suspected villainy. Just happens to be the villainy that is Le Chiffre, and stops the explosion from going off in a pretty spectacular, fun airport scene. And so during the course of the event, the poker game, James ends up winning. So that he basically, Mads Mikkelsen, Le Chiffre, kidnaps Ava Green to use her as a hostage against James. They basically capture both of them. Le Chiffre's right hand man is torturing Ava Green, and then Mads Mikkelsen's character is torturing James. And before they basically do anything, they go to this essentially, I think it's a boat of some sort, but big old metal thing. They go in, there's this wooden chair with a wicker type bottom to it, where the seat's at, and the dude pulls out a knife, cuts out the bottom of it, sets it down. They tie James naked to it. You're like, well, this seems like a weird fetish thing. And he has this giant knotted rope that he repeatedly slams into the bottom of what would have been the seat of a chair, which A, would have hurt in general, but now that the bottom's cut out, his giblets are hanging down, and he's just whacking him. There's this like wet smack, and like, oh, the pain. Because in last week's movie, when I talked about Polar, he's the recipient of the torture. And the part that, and I think I talked about it, that really drives me is the wire cutters and the snick it makes when it pops through the skin. This is also extremely painful to watch. And just knowing that how much, the type of pain and how bad it must. I mean, I've never had a giant knotted rope slammed into my testicles yet in my life. Knock on wood. But I can imagine it's pretty excruciating. So much so that he has to actually go through convalescence and afterwards to heal. But he does it several times, and James takes like a champ. He even taunts him one point about having an itch down there, and then he hits him once. He's like, to the right, and then he hits him again. Oh, it's just, it's brutal. And it's one of the most, like, beyond being a man things that James Bond ever did was that torture scene and being able to survive. Just the thought of having that knotted rope slam into your undercarriage makes me want to give up any information you want. But having happened once and then multiple times afterwards in repeated session a couple times, I would have told you literally anything and everything I knew about anybody ever in my life. And I would have just given you anything and everything possible to make you not do that again. And he didn't. He held it tight, and I was like, yo, that's fucked up. But yeah, I mean, it's just, the torture scene is so fucking hard to watch. There's a couple really good scenes with Mads in this movie. He's not the main star in it, but he is spectacular in everything scene he does. But he has this calm fury that is in him that is terrifying, and it's menacing in its own right. And he plays it very well, but also he's this very multi-dimensional character, because he acts like this badass, but he's actually pretty soft and he's not super brave either. There's a part where some of the clients that he lost money for attack him in the hotel room in Casino Royale in Montblanc, or Montenegro. Montblanc, that's weird. Montenegro, and it's a cool scene because James is actually about to come in and actually save him. But that's neither here nor there. They basically say he they're going to cut off his hands, but he needs them to play poker. So they're going to cut off his girlfriend's hands or his wife or whoever the crazy, that Russian lady is. And so they're about to cut her hand off, like literally halfway up through her forearm. And they stop and they look at him, and there's like no word of stop, no hey, I'm going to get you your money, no pleading to save her arm. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty cold. Like, he's like, yeah, no, take her arm, because I care more about mine. I was like, you are a piece of work, sir. You can see how he's not this big tough guy, and he's a very broken character or very broken person. And so it's pretty cool the way they do that. I also forgot to mention, in this, you meet Mr. White, who's played by Jesper Christensen, who is very crucial throughout these four movies with Daniel Craig, because they did a really good job. If you haven't seen any of the newer movies, the ones with Daniel Craig, all four of them, so Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace are very closely linked, because the end of Casino Royale leads right into the beginning of Quantum of Solace. And then Skyfall broadens it more, but not completely, because it's what they're doing is they're building to the end of Spectre, which is the reveal of the real villains behind all of everything that basically James has gone through throughout these movies. And they're essentially forming the evil group is basically solidifying themselves as the bad guys that are behind everything that has ever happened bad to James in it. And essentially the formation of the group, Spectre, who, if you've seen the early movies for James Bond, is essentially the organization that is all the main bad guys through all of James Bond's movies are part of. And it's the Special Executive of Counterintelligence, Terrorism, Revenge, and Extortion is what SPECTRE stands for. And is literally like the penultimate evil that is the menacing force between in all of the Ian Fleming's novels and all the early Bond movies with Sean Connery and Roger Moore. They are the organization that basically funds and helps organize all the different villains throughout the movies. And of course, Spectre, the movie, not the organization, Spectre, Christoph Waltz plays Blofeld, who is the main mastermind behind Spectre, and he's the one who's been pulling all the strings, I guess, in the background. I don't know how to say it. Basically, he's the one organizing everything, and he's the one manipulating from the beginning. And you get this. I mean, if you haven't seen the least the last Skyfall and Spectre, they are the most intense and story heavy James Bond movies of all of them, because they really, really jump into the mythos of James Bond and Spectre in turn, but also just give him the character more depth as well. And then you actually learn that he's not this overall decimated character. I don't know how to, he's built up as this harder than steel character who has no emotions. But then you, in this movie, especially in Spectre, Skyfall, you get a lot of it, and in Spectre you see more of it because it plays off each other. But it's hard to say. It's hard to put it. Like, I want to say, I just can't figure the words out to say what it is. I'm mumbling and rambling now. It really broadens the depth of the James Bond character, and you learn more about his history and his family in Skyfall. And then the Inspector, you see that all the bad shit that's happened to him ever since he became Bond, and even slightly before that, has all been at the hands and the thought process of Blofeld and Spectre throughout his history, and even before him, but especially for him, because they see him as this threat, and they see MI6 as a threat, and so they, you know, really go after him, and they fuck with him pretty bad. Yeah, man, super good movies. I think that's all I want to say. I talked about way more stuff than just Mads in this, but I talked about this movie and Mad was in it, so that's why I talked about it. But as for what I'm reading, I completely and utterly did not read any of my comic books from last week, so don't have anything for you there. Nothing big came out last week anyways. I say that, but I... Nope. No, one big thing I should have read, but I didn't. Doesn't matter. I've been catching up on my Game of Thrones. Started my my rewatch of all 7 seasons, if you didn't know that already. Started basically 67 days out, so basically I'll watch an episode a day, and by the end of that run, I'll be watching the first episode of season 8, which is like an hour and something long, because it's like essentially a movie. I say essentially a movie. It is a movie. There's 6, I want to say it's 6, individual, at least an hour and a half long movies that tie the series up. Hopefully. Fuck, I don't know. I'm not the writer. So I started that. I'm 7 episodes in as of right now of recording. So 60 more to go, which is 60 more days essentially till the release of episode 8, so, or season 8, which is pretty cool. Just helps you kind of a refresher, but also just kind of get really ramped up for the next 2 months leading up to the release of season 8. The guys and I are continuing our Marvel watching. As for what I'm reading, I am currently reading The Passage, and I talked about this a little bit last week. And I can now tell you that the Fox television show will never, ever, ever be able to do the book justice. Not because I'm saying the book is like one of the best things ever. It's actually a really good book, but it is a hardcore novel. It's grandiose. It would be safe to say, which is a pretty crazy word to bring up. But the things that happen in the world that he's built will never be able to be done by Fox. And if they do even part of it, no, they'll never do enough of it. Just because the scale of what happens a third of the way through the book irreparably changes any way that they're going to be able to do it. Because literally a third of the way through the book, all your main characters that you built up in the first third of the book are gone, because it jumps forward in time to the aftermath of the infection going through, and it gets fucking weird. Like, it gets Waterworld-ish, very post-apocalyptic. There's these settlements that have big old walls that were built in the Republic of California, because California secedes from the nation in the midst of this outbreak happening, as it's starting to spread from Colorado outward. And they lock down their borders. They essentially, because they secede from the Union, they are governing body and they have their own rules, even though the president's like, we don't really even like recognize your sovereignty. Like, we're not letting you do this. They don't give a fuck. They're shooting people on the border. They're not taking any prisoners. Then you find out that in the small areas that aren't completely overrun yet, they're putting young kids, like only kids, on trains and buses, and they're shipping them to California. And like their parents are literally letting them go, knowing that they're going to die because they're being left in these towns, these cities that were being evacuated of only their young to try to make the human race survive. So you learn about this, and then you get this shotgun class on the society that they're building in these settlements behind these giant walls with these giant lights that deter and help protect against the jumpers, as they call them, or the vampires. It is just fucking nuts, dude. And that's just, I'm not even halfway through the book. I am probably two-fifths. I'm pretty close to half. Like, actually, no. I don't think I'm even close to half. Well, I'm close to half, because I'm definitely more than a third in. But, man, it is just, you know, I'm on Act 4. Yeah, Act 4. But the fucking craziness that happens that leads the virus getting out. And I think I talked about last week and how different, and maybe I didn't talk about it at all. No, I don't think I did. Actually, I talked about the Space Team book last week. Can't remember if I did or not. Anyways, the if you haven't watched the show on Fox, I watched the first episode. I felt that they, I think I did mention this, they rushed a lot of things in that first episode, which is a very Fox thing to do. It feels like they rushed some stuff. And the characters are, some of them are, I mean, from what I know, from one episode I've watched, aren't nearly as in depth. There's a lot more characters in the show that aren't really focused on in the book, even if they're not mentioned. There's a whole diverging path that Amy the child goes on that is different than from the book to the show. Her mom's not a drug addict who overdoses. She's actually a single mother who's young, who essentially stumbles into prostitution, ends up shooting a college kid who has basically brought her to his frat to basically be gangbanged. She's trying to get away in the struggle. She shoots him in the head. So she dumps Amy, the girl, off at a convent, saying that their car broke down. She needs to just have her stay there for a little couple hours and why she gets the car situated. Then there's the nuns that end up getting slaughtered by the army guy, in the night when he went there to silence them. One of them gets away. Amy has the ability to talk to animals, which is fucking insane. She becomes, finally, they go and she gets injected with the virus, but somehow it doesn't make her a vampire, but it stops her growing, so she's always the same, like she's going to be the same size. She has sensitivity to bright light. So far, she hadn't eaten anything other than just regular food, and even the dude recognized that she's kind of faking it for him. She's extremely smart. She confesses not knowing how to swim, but instantly becomes really good at it. A nuke goes off, which is, again, fucking madness. What you think is the main character besides Amy dies of an infected wound to his leg and probably radiation poisoning. Dies in the woods, about to be struck upon by vampires, and then it jumps in time. It's so fucking crazy, and the fact that there's no fucking way Fox is ever going to do any of it the way it is. So I don't know. I have not figured out why they call it The Passage yet either. But maybe I'll find out why. But the part I'm in the book now is just crazy, because like this, they have a whole different timeline, and it's basically, as of right now, 117 years AV, which is after virus. So 117 years past the evolution or the outbreak so like right there you should be like, well, what the fuck, like that's so weird. And I don't even know what year it actually is, because they don't specify at all in the book, and they give you this idea of like there's this like 15 year long war happening in like Afghanistan or Iraq or something like that. They don't really specify. They talk about how New Orleans is a quarantine zone that's no longer available for human beings to go to. All sorts of crazy shit he throws in there that never really specify in any way. It's just crazy. Anyhow, if you like that shit, which I certainly do, and I am enjoying it, it's just so crazy to think of where this is going, because I already feel like I'm in a second book, but I'm only in like the fourth part of the book. I don't know, it's so nuts. But if you like it, it's Justin Corin who wrote it. It's three books. The first one is The Passage. The second one's The 12. I can't remember what the other one was, but I haven't got there. So I'm going to read all three of them, just because I'm really intrigued on this world that he's making in these crazy vampires. But yeah, that's it for this week's episode. We were talking about Casino Royale, starring the reason we're talking about it is for Mads Mikkelsen. Next week we will be talking another Mads Mikkelsen movie. Let me confirm my notes here to make sure I'm not gonna lie to you. King Arthur is next week's movie. he's in that movie. He's not the main guy. It's an ensemble cast. It's not like there's one main guy. He's not King Arthur. He plays Lancelot. Is he Lancelot? No. Yes. I should know this. I want to say it's Lancelot. I'll tell you right now. I'm going to pull it up. No, he plays Tristain. I'm sorry. He plays Tristain. I knew I was incorrect about that. Anyways, he's in that. So we'll talk about that next week. Yeah, that's it for this week's episode, everybody. As usual, as I like to say at the end of all these episodes, let's be awesome, everybody.